Holy Gospel according to Luke, or, whoa, that's not the text that I had. I'll invite you just to listen to the Gospel this morning. So this is the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and comfort to you from God who created and is still creating. It's a joy to get to be able to share the gospel with you this first Sunday in Advent, because Advent is my favorite season. It's a time of preparation and anticipation. All around us, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas with all of the lights and sparkle. Well, we as Christians today, in this first Sunday in Advent, gather to light a single candle. It's not yet time for all the candles. We make space for it to unfold gradually, week by week. I love the intentionality of Advent. And we know what's coming at the end of the Advent season. We know the culminating story that we will hear on Christmas Eve that invites us into the next chapter. It's like rereading a favorite book or rewatching a favorite movie. We know how it ends, but there is a specific joy and comfort in journeying through a story that you know the ending to. In fact, maybe knowing the ending allows you to more fully enjoy the rest of it. You aren't anxious to get to the end. You rewatch it to experience the whole thing, to take in your favorite scenes, to be in those moments of dialogue you can save from memory, to spend time with those characters you have come to love. Advent is an invitation to be in the moment, to participate fully in the journey without being solely focused on the conclusion, to let the journey unfold story by story, candle by candle. And the anticipation and buildup and expectations, the grand stories leading up to the manger, with our favorite characters, songs we wait all year to sing, costumes, decorations, and the weight and power of God's entrance into our world once again, drawing this feeling of hope and expectation that something new will happen, that God will indeed break into the world and the world will be changed once again. That's the part I get swept up into the most. I easily get caught up in the expectation and excitement and hope and joy from participating in our treasured traditions. Until this year. This year feels different. and I see it all around. So how many of you almost always wait to put up your Christmas decorations or wait to play Christmas music or watch your favorite movies until after Thanksgiving? Show of hands. How many started with those before Thanksgiving this year? Yes, lots and lots of hands. It seems like more of us dug out those favorite things earlier than usual this year, myself included. These acts of joy and celebration, filling our space with our favorite holiday things, seem to be playing a different role this year. This reaching for Christmas early seems to be more of an act of grief and comfort. Grieving what we can't do. Anxiety, stress, and fear about our current realities, we seek out these things that are familiar, that make us feel safe or have brought us joy in the past. We are needing the solid ground of tradition when so many of our traditions and routines have been upended. Seeing my tree with ornaments from when I was a kid, watching Home Alone for the 700th time, is a balm for my soul this year, rather than adding another spark to the excitement. Comfort before joy, maybe. And comfort before joy is what we indeed see in the gospel text today. So I'd say look at the order of the dialogue, but you can't because of the text, that gospel wasn't printed, but look at the order of the dialogue and intentionality of how this gospel writer set up the story. The Lord be with you. Do not be afraid. Probably a pretty important starting point when imposing a miracle on someone who wasn't asking for a miracle. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. Comfort before joy, because her world is about to be turned upside down, her reputation in question. She's not sure how her betrothed will respond. Now, granted, he doesn't give her much time. The Lord is with you, do not be afraid, before immediately launching into, but you are special, and this is going to be amazing, and your son's actually going to be God, and a king, and reign forever. Hooray! Yet, despite the grandness and joy of this proclamation, he makes space for her questions to unfold. There is space to be unsure, to not be ready for what is happening, needing time to wrap her head around it. Her doubt and fear have a valid place in the story. And maybe that's what the world needs from us today. In the midst of perfectly curated Instagram feeds, we can offer a message of grace and comfort that says your doubts and fears are a valid part of your story, and we expect them to show up here. We'll make space for them. And here's what I find interesting, and it's maybe an understanding of community that we could embrace today. Comfort before joy, space for doubts and questions. Yes, those things are so needed. And yet the story continues. Gabriel doesn't wait for Mary to catch up, to be ready for the rest of the story. He doesn't even seem to expect her to fully grasp it before adding to the fun. P.S. Elizabeth is also going to have a baby because God is awesome. And while Mary's response is often interpreted as a beautiful sign of her faithfulness, I often read it as cautiously accepting. I mean, are you really going to say no to an angel telling you you've been chosen to be God's mom? Probably not. What I love about Gabriel in this story is that he holds the joy for her until she's ready. She's a part of the story exactly how she is. He declares God's faithfulness and presence in Mary's life for Mary when she's not certain of it herself. While we don't have literal angels, we have the confession and forgiveness. We have bread and wine. We have words of blessing each and every week to declare God's faithfulness and love, whether we're ready to hold it or not. It's there regardless of how we show up, for whoever shows up and whatever they're able to bring. As community, we say, this is who we are and this is what we're doing. Join us when you're ready. And then there's Elizabeth, the friend who's excited for you while you're still wrapping your head around things, who offers comfort through her joy, reassurance that it will be okay because someone else sees the possibilities. The gift of community, friends you know and trust who can offer perspective on your life that you just don't see yet, who offer to walk with you in this journey, come what may. As I was thinking about community and journeys this week, I was reminded of a song taught to me by some global mission colleagues. It's a South African Xhosa song from the anti-apartheid movement. The Xhosa phrase is, Kambanati Makulu Wetu. The English version of this song often translates it as, come walk with us, the journey is long. I've been drawn to both non-Western cultures and indigenous cultures in my own sort of learning and spirituality as a balm for the fractured nature and hyper-individualism that permeates our American, our white American context. I'm drawn to the communal nature of other traditions and what we can learn from them. Hearing this in the context, this song and these words in the context of a communal culture, it both tells us that the story that we need you, that this hard journey can't succeed unless we have the support of many. And it's an invitation for you to not go it alone. It's a long journey and you're going to need other people. It's a beautiful version, embodiment of an interconnected community. The version Brandon's gonna play for you here is a Mennonite congregation in Boston, because it has both the English and Xhosa lyrics for you.
Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long.
The journey is long.
That says this is hard, we're going to need all of us to do this. And it's an invitation to not go alone. This is a long journey that we have been on, and you're going to need other people. So friends, today I invite you to continue this journey of Advent, to gather each week, to light another candle, to hear more of the story, to let the unfolding story in this community surround you where you are at. Come walk with us. The journey is long. Amen.